Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I think that worked in Memphis's favor, the fact that what UTSA did to Tulane, like, I think that kind of focused them up. Like, hey, because they were so businesslike on Friday.
Yeah. No, I they were up, what, 21-0 before. It was like 14-0 in a blink. And I was like, yep, this is toast. I was wrong on, 72% post-game win expectancy.
I'm not saying we're wrong on Cal or Arkansas. I have plenty of other options of where I was dead wrong. I've also never seen 18 penalties to 4.
But the problem is, as soon as I stop betting Arkansas, they're going to finally win, and I'm going to be sad that I have the fear of
you gave up.
Out. But God, I felt like to have the Cal loss and then like coincide almost exactly at the same moment with Arkansas completely collapsing.
Oh, you can't recover. That's the whole thing. Like, I never recovered.
I was just sitting there going, so the Notre Dame game ends, the Florida game ends, and I didn't have Florida. Actually, I had Florida first half. I didn't have them full game. So I was like, oh, that's a funny ending. You know, I'm sure people get all fired up from the gun.
Well, it just made me more angry that he didn't do it against Auburn.
Exactly. You know why he did it? Because Kirby Smart lit into him after he scored against Auburn. And it was the right football play. They were the right side, whatever. And then I'm watching the Cal game. And for those who didn't see it, I don't know if you talked about it yesterday, I'll do a Cliff Notes version. Cal's catching, I think they closed around 5 or 6. I took a bad number at 4.5 because I hate Virginia. And Virginia has a 4th and 2, and they bring out the kicker, or the kicker goes rogue and is like out there. I'm like, damn it. All right, they're going to kick a field goal. I'm like, actually, this is the wrong football move. Like, you shouldn't kick a field goal here. Get a first and end the game. So they go for it. Chandler Morris throws a bad pass. And now I'm thinking, all right, just don't go to overtime or throw a pick 6. And that's exactly what happened. So
I didn't know what to root for on 4th and 2, because on the one hand,
I wanted a pop pass.
I know, but I think they were going to, I think what they showed is they were going to score. Like, I was trying to, is there a way to thread this needle? Like, to me, it's like, I thought if they converted, they were probably going to score on the play. And so I was like, I guess I don't want them to get this, but I'm always just leery of pick 6. And cover the play. Go make a tackle. Also, go down.
And then Chandler Morris post-game with Don Davenport's like, yeah, I was just hoping that he would get down. I was like, yeah, you and me both.
Yeah,
buddy.
That makes all of us. I would also throw in Wake. Although I think there was like a – the thing about like Florida State games is if you give them –
I kind of liked Florida State, and I didn't play it. I was mad at myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you probably liked Wake and Cincinnati. And it's like, yep, those are the ones that I was just like dead wrong. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we haven't gotten into the latest from Ja Morant, so we'll do our usual Ja Morant therapy session with Tim. Also, NFL trade deadline officially comes to a close. We'll talk about the big moves and more. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes. Each and every day, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. John Morant. All right, Tim. So I don't know how much you've been following along, but we went from having a situation where coming into the year, Ja had done a tour of China for Nike, and vibes were high. And yes, the Grizzlies were starting the years with some injuries, but overall, like, pretty positive. And we're not talking about beating the top of, like, they weren't beating the Thunder. They weren't beating the best teams in the West, but they start out 3-2, and he had a couple of games where he was just massive game winners. Well, we get to last Friday night, and maybe this is just the power of the NBA Cup. But the Grizzlies are in the second prime game. So on Friday nights, they're hosting the Lakers on Halloween night, and he has a fine first half is what I would say. Like, it wasn't you didn't notice it being particularly good, but you didn't sit there and notice it being particularly bad. Like, it was just fine. Also happening concurrently, though, you could tell Luka was about to just have a monster game. Like, he was in the midst of having a monster game. It only continued in the second half. And I bring that up for a reason, because I don't think you can dismiss that aspect of it. Well, we get to the second half, and then it basically just becomes Ja, like, standing around in the corner. I mean, quiet quitting. And then we learn on Saturday he has been suspended for a game for conduct detrimental to the team. We have had Shams subsequently report that, and I use, whenever Shams reports, I use that in air quotes.
Is Giannis in New York yet, or is that still, are we still waiting for that?
Oh, no, it's happening. Don't worry.
Okay, that's gonna be a long burn.
Yeah, no, it's just, he's playing the long game.
Wow.
He reports that Tuomas Ysalo, the new Grizzlies coach, essentially calls out Ja Morant in the locker room at half. And that was what we saw. Again, nobody else has been able to confirm that. That's the only aspect that we have. On Sunday, the Grizzlies went to Toronto. And before the game, Ja tweets out like a Go Grizz Instagram post. Okay? We get to last night, and I think everybody doesn't really know what to expect. I think some people were maybe optimistic, seeing like, okay, well, you know, he's with his teammates. He's going to show up ready to go. And it was just very apparent from the beginning that, you know, he did warm-ups with the hoodie. Like, he was basically going through the entire operation, like, letting people know how unhappy he was. Now, to be clear, during the game, I thought he played well. Like, still not making shots, more on that in a minute. But, I mean, he was certainly not the reason they lost to the Pistons last night. We get to postgame, and Ja, like, wants to basically speak immediately. He's asked a couple of questions about the situation, none of which diffuses anything. It was along the lines of, well, I guess you talked to the staff. Well, yeah, that's that. He was very dismissive. And then he was asked by a local reporter, were you, like, basically what happened on Friday night? And he's like, that's a baiting question. And basically he ends it there. So here we are. And this is now officially 8 games into the season, and we're going through Ja drama. So on the one hand, I have a tendency to think the NBA really plays up a lot of drama that kind of happens in almost every sport, but this one is kind of tough to ignore, because to me it hits a new level last night when Ja Morant could have diffused it by just handing out boring quotes, whatnot. And so this allows the story to continue. I guess I will let you, I've laid out the story, so you can take this in any direction you want to go. Because there is obviously a here we go again element.
Well, and that's kind of what I was going to say, right? Because, you know, last year, and obviously, you guys living there, being the flagship station of of the Grizzlies, like, you guys are so ingrained in it that when, remind me, I'm trying to remember of the story where everyone was trying to say that the Grizz were about to, you know, burn it down to the ground.
Oh, that was, so I don't want to get Howard Beck in trouble because I think Howard Beck's a good reporter. What happened was Howard Beck during All-Star Weekend was on somebody's podcast. I don't remember if it was a Ringer podcast.
It was a Ringer.
Trying to not give credit. I'm saying I don't recall the exact podcast it was. But there was extreme baiting of Howard saying the hosts were like, give us some rumors, give us some rumors, give us some rumors. And so he's like, I'm not reporting this. I'm not saying this. All I'm telling you is that every GM I talk to says, watch the Grizzlies this summer and watch Morant.
Right. And then Desmond Bane goes to the Magic.
Correct.
And everyone starts freaking out. So you guys were kind of all over that. And then Triple J got the extension after that. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. It does have that here we go again nature. And I think we talked about it last year where Ja got suspended for, doing the guns thing, right?
Yep.
By the NBA. And he didn't really, if I remember correctly, kind of own it. He was like, well, everyone else is kind of doing it. It's like, well, not everyone else got arrested for...
I think he got fined. I don't think they actually suspended him.
Is that what it was? It was only a fine.
It was a big fine. I don't believe he actually got suspended.
But it was like, you keep bringing it upon
yourself. Well, there was a question of whether or not he was going to get fined.
Right.
To your point.
And I think we were all in agreement, like, no, he shouldn't be suspended for this. It was a dumb thing to do, but you don't have to go as that, you know, that far. I think what I gather is, like, here we go again, and what's going on, and is this going to continue down this road, or, and you would know better than me, hey, this was a weird circumstance, they did what they had to do, they're moving on. I think nationally people are thinking, Ja Morant, again, you know, doing something detrimental to the team, can't help himself. My question is somewhere in the middle. Like, there's a little bit of here we go again, but there also is like, all right, you've got a new coach, weird situation. Is this just one game, rectify itself, let's move on with our lives?
So here's the other issue right now. So they're still down Edie. Pippen's probably going to miss a couple months. They'll get Ty Jerome back maybe in December, but it's important to note Ty Jerome might have pre-Achilles. Got the old calf strain.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like to see that.
So that's all going right now. So the other problem is the schedule now ramps up, and the Grizzlies are just like when you watch them. I do think part of Ja's frustration is like, hey, I'm sitting here and throwing a lob to Jock Landell, and he can't do anything with it. Jalen Wells has had a horrific start shooting the basketball to the season. And also, I do not leave this out, checks his notes, Ja Morant shooting 13.9% from three as well. So there's a lot of things at play. I still go back to, for me, the moment that I look to that I think we probably all overlooked was, it was not made public, but he quietly either fired Jim Tanner as his agent or left Jim Tanner, or I find it hard to believe that Jim Tanner fired Ja because nothing had really happened at this point. And at this point, Ja is on the rocket ship that the NBA will place on a young guy. But he leaves Jim's agency. And then the next year was this year where my suspicion is where Ja was kind of the darling of the NBA. A lot of NBA Twitter was like calling him corny. And that got to him because then the next thing that we see is the next year he shows up with kind of this tough guy routine. Just out of nowhere. And I think those things are related. And then that snowballs into the incidents that we see off the floor, changes agencies, gets with Mike Miller. Mike Miller is quietly dismissed, or they part ways this summer, and now Ja has his own agency and management company that's all just his family or his camp. And I do think a huge part of everything that is going on is there is no one that is involved in Team Morant that is an outside voice. Everyone that is involved in Team Morant owes their entire life to him. Now, you can make the argument, hey, that's family doing business. Like, this isn't shunned in any other thing. But I would simply argue, in a profession where branding does matter, all of this, I do think you need outside professional voices.
So I'll pose this question to you. What's next?
So this is kind of the larger problem. I don't think they're going to do anything in the immediate, because it's still very obvious to me what is best for all parties, the Grizzlies, Grizzlies fans, I think Ja Morant, is for all of this to work out. And Zach Kleiman, the team executive, I don't know what we call him now, but he's the roster guy. Everyone has a different title. We used to call him GMs, but I don't think he's, I think he's like,
is he the president of
vice president of, or maybe the team president of basketball operations, whatever the title may be. He made it very clear this summer that the Grizzlies are in the Ja Morant business and they are one in the same. So you would think if this is something as simple as a run of the mill coach versus player, well, we know how that goes in the NBA. The problem is the Grizzlies did not run a real coaching search this summer when their job opened up, and they announced that Tuomas Isolo is going to be the head coach. They did not have a press conference doing so. They just announced it and moved on. Well, you would think if you spent the whole summer basically declaring that you're in the Ja Morant business, the implication was, and I think it would have been even intimated, that Ja was on board with this. And to be clear, a lot of this, I think, was Tuomas' offensive system was going to use more pick and roll and more stuff that Ja likes. It's also important to note, Tuomas has been a head coach in Europe, but he's never been an NBA head coach. He was an assistant for three quarters of a season, or maybe seven-eighths of a season. And I do wonder if there are cultural, like, differences that maybe, like, I can handle this a certain way in Europe, but you can't handle it in the NBA. I have to wonder if that's playing a part in this. But it all, to your point, kind of keeps coming back to, listen, we can add context to, like, particular events, but it seems like the same character is involved in everything. Because of the way NBA contracts and rules work, they can't do anything until December 15th. Realistically, if you were going to put him on the market, which I don't think they are. But the question remains is, can they smooth things over and get to a point in the 2026 portion of the season where they have a better roster, guys are back from injury, and they have a team that is going to be more competitive? Can they get to that? Because there's also kind of this weird, I equated it into my mind, the year that Ja was suspended for 25 games. In your mind, you're like, well, they've had it. They've been decent without Ja. Like, they're a better team with Ja, but they've been decent. They might be able to tread water without Ja. Let's see. But in hindsight, 25 games without Ja Morant absolutely sunk the team. Like, at one point, I think they were like 3-19 in those games. So there's this.
Where is because I remember a discussion, might have been, I think it was last year at some point, and it was just who the impact of Ja in Memphis. Like, every kid has a Ja Morant jersey.
Yeah,
like,
I think this was Vernon went on with Russillo.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. And that was like an interesting point where it's, you know, you're not a major market team. You've got a superstar in the NBA. how detrimental would it be to the franchise if at some point here, I'm not saying now, they did part ways with John Morant?
So I think it would still be unpopular.
Is it starting to grow into the point of like you? It makes sense at some point?
I think so. I think everyone is tired of all of the drama and being exhausted. I do think, though, everyone's inclination is, can we just make it work?
Sure.
The problem, though, that you start to see, though, is, all right, I have to ask this. This went from like 0 to 100 where like he's in a good mood to all of a sudden like, you know, quiet quitting in a game and now like actively pouring kerosene on a fire. Like I'm now at the point where I'm like, is this like an intentional trying to, you know, make it so uncomfortable? This isn't an unusual thing in the NBA where your camp makes it just so dramatic and uncomfortable that you're just trying to force an exit. I don't think that's what's happening, because I don't honestly think that the people that are running Morant Enterprises are all that intelligent, but I at least have to consider it.
So, yeah.
I do think most of this stems from, though, I keep going back to Friday night. I just think it's as simple as Luka looked like one of the three best players in the world and Ja looked like a guy. And then there was probably some grumblings because the way that the guys are being employed right now, it's like shorter stints, but their minutes are still kind of roughly the same. But I think also a big part of it is like outside of Ja and Jaren, if you've got Jalen Wells shooting basically single digits from three, like that's not really that useful of an NBA player. Like the irony is like the biggest bright spot is just Cedric Howard. Georgie had something to add.
Yeah, I mean, just about the guys that are there. And I thought this came from before yesterday's game. Might have been, it was before when they asked Coach Isolo about the strategy, about the deployment. I mean, the answer he gave was thoughtful and made sense. And he has been prone to changing up the roster or changing up the deployment during the games. I mean, even to that point, in the second quarter, when the Grizzlies went on that massive run, it was a mix of everyone.
It's almost like they've reversed the Taylor Jenkins experience, where Jenkins usually had guys ready to play, or like the Grizzlies' right. First quarters were always their best quarter. And then as the game went on, they would fade. What we've seen thus far, opponent adjusted, the Grizzlies are starting very slow, but their second halves are noticeably better than their first halves.
He's making active adjustments on the fly.
Right.
He's deploying different lineups, which on paper and the way we look at it sometimes look off and sometimes are off and don't play well. A lot of this quick rotation is him saying, okay, wait a second, this isn't working. Let's try something else here that we've seen could probably work. I mean, for what it's worth, the lineup that had, I think, well, it was like a 26-2 run against the Lakers on Friday – was a mix of Jaren, Cam Spencer, Cedric Howard, Jalen Wells, Jock Landale, a little bit of KCP, and a little bit of Vince. That's a non-traditional lineup when you look at the guys that you have available to you.
I think the other problem that you have is like, okay, I think that they are nowhere near this point, but like, let's say they make the decision, what if we explore getting out of the Ja Morant business? Like, you're
not really selling high.
You're pretty much getting the worst possible. Like, this is the worst possible moment. So, my instinct says they're going to try to figure out a way to get it to the 2026 portion of the schedule. And I actually do think the team could be better. I'm not sitting there saying, like, this team is move over Thunder. Like, there's a new sheriff in town. But I do think if they just got maybe 3 or 4 pieces back, like this is a team that would be competitive with like the back half of the West, of the playoff teams in the West.
Can I ask you this, though?
Yep, go ahead.
Just side note here. As you watched that game on Friday night,
yep,
did you go to yourself, The Lakers got Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis and one first-round pick.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if we're ever.
I know LeBron is hurt, and this Lakers team has a lot of flaws, and they're not going to win a championship. But that still is the most. There needs to be a documentary.
I don't know if we'll ever get a satisfying answer.
And I know he's been in and out of the lineup dealing with some injuries, but he started the year 43, 49, 44 with double-digit rebounds in every single game.
Oh, I mean, it is.
He's 26 years old. It's still. And then, of course, they get the parachute of you get Cooper Flagg after making the worst trade in the history of the NBA, in my opinion. But it's like, that dude is more than likely going to be in LA for the next decade. And it's just, how do you get rid of him? A year after he dragged your franchise to the finals.
I don't know if we'll ever get a satisfactory answer. Because their story still doesn't add up.
No.
So thus concludes our Grizzlies therapy session. NFL trade deadline. All right, Tim.
Speaking of therapy session.
Yeah, we had listen, man. At least they're like, think about it this way, George. Everyone is asking, what were the other teams doing with the returns that you've gotten?
That's true. I mean, I did just look at them because obviously very, reactionary, the ESPN trade grades. I don't know why, but they gave the Cowboys an F.
I mean, it is a massive haul.
A second this year, a conditional first, it turns out to be. It will be the higher pick between Dallas and Green Bay in 2027 and Mazi Smith.
So we've had the third most trades going back to the trade deadline in 1990 on just today. The big trade, obviously, is the Cowboys have acquired three-time Pro Bowler Quinnen Williams. As George mentioned, a 26 second, a 27 first, although we now learned that's conditional, and then Mazi Smith.
Conditional in a good way because they get the better of the two first-round picks that Dallas has from the Micah Parsons deal.
Also, yes. The Jets trade Sauce Gardner to the Colts for two first. Is that right?
Yeah, yep. Straight up 26, God, 27 first.
That's a lot.
And
for corner?
And Adonai Mitchell.
Woo, doggies.
Look, I know you got to trust the people making these picks.
Eesh.
Which is a whole other discussion. On the surface, though, where's this franchise going? Let's be honest. They have no quarterback.
That's what I was telling George today. It's like, hey, man,
I know Jets fans, and George, God bless you. I mean, it's one of the most hopeless franchises in sports. But, I mean, look at the haul you brought in today. You got three first-round picks and a second. And, oh, by the way, you got Dallas's first-round pick or second-round pick this year, which could be a pretty damn high second-round pick. And what were Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner getting you now?
Not a whole lot. I mean, they've been fine. This is just, I don't know how other fans feel. This is just me. It's less about the return because the return, like you guys said, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a really, really good return for both those guys. I mean, the personalities, the players that they are, I mean, they're both very good players. Another big one that I saw is the the cap savings. This year, it's not a whole lot. Next year, it's a little bit. They're saving $24 million off the cap in 2 years.
I mean,
that's not nothing.
So the other big moves that we saw were, and I don't even know if you can declare it big. I think the first question I have is, what are the Cowboys doing?
Don't know.
Like, don't these moves suggest, like, you just shouldn't even have done the Micah Parsons deal?
You basically, so they got two first-round picks for Micah, correct?
And two or three.
I think it was it two and then Kenny Clark?
Okay.
I think that was it. Let me.
So you traded Micah Parsons for Quinnen Williams, essentially? Is that what we're kind of getting to?
Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah, the Cowboys got two firsts, so 26 and 27, and Kenny Clark for Parsons. Okay.
Green Bay, I know they just lost to Carolina, so who the heck knows. But, all right, Green Bay you would think is picking towards the back end of the first round. Dallas is likely picking closer to the front of the first, but who knows how the season unfolds. It could be weird. But it doesn't seem like after you lose by double digits at home to Arizona that you're necessarily a team that is going to be a playoff squad. It's not this simplistic, but you kind of traded Quinnen Williams.
No, that's
Micah
what I'm saying.
Parsons
like,
for
you, like, you can...
It's like, they, okay.
I always come back to like, was there something medical with Micah's back? Because that was so non Jerry Jones. Like Jerry always pays the star, even when people go, you shouldn't pay the star. But maybe there really was just so much ego involved that how dare the agent question and threaten me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I hold everything.
Can I read you? I know we got to probably take a break here, but George alluded to it. This is what Seth Walder had to say at ESPN.com on the trade. There's no other way to put it. This is a horrific trade for the Cowboys. It is completely unfathomable for a team like Dallas to be trading away major draft resources for a soon-to-be 28-year-old defensive tackle on a salary-heavy contract in a season when they have a 7% chance to make the playoffs per ESPN's FPI. Yet, here we are. That's the start of it. He gives the Cowboys an F and the Jets an A.
Again, yes, I understand your apprehension of, okay, I don't know if I trust the people making the picks. But, like, this is the fastest way to rebuild. Like, these guys kind of matter. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a little bit of scheduling announcement for the college football playoff. We'll now know the exact nights and what stations each game will be on. We'll also take a look at some of the lines this week. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes. All right, Tim. We have had an announcement from the college football playoff, the official Twitter account. We have the schedule. More importantly, we have the television schedule for the playoff rounds. So TNT will not have the early Saturday game. So ESPN will have the Friday night. ESPN and ABC will have the Friday night game. That was the Indiana-Notre Dame game. They will take the early game on ABC and ESPN on Saturday. Then TNT, True TV, and HBO Max will have the middle game, so the 2:30 Central time on Saturday, and they will have the night game. So that was the Ohio State-Tennessee game. And then we now know the rest of it's all ESPN.
So is this telling us, because we don't have game times yet for the Washington-Philly game and Green Bay-Chicago game, because the NFL can't help themselves,
right,
and they have to go head-to-head with the with college football. Is this telling us that's going to be a afternoon-evening doubleheader?
I 100% think that's about what's about to happen.
There's no way ESPN's like, oh, you know what? True TV, here you go. You can have a game not against the NFL. So what we're telling you, folks, is that the two best games of the first round on paper,
correct,
will be Friday night and Saturday morning.
Yes, I think that is more than fair. We also have the return of Maction tonight. If you want to watch UMass and Akron, have at it.
I believe this is the first time Akron has been a double-digit favorite against a fellow FBS team since 2017.
Whoo, boy. If you want to go...
God bless you if you want to watch this one. That's actually a good one in the other one,
though. That's what I'm saying. Miami of Ohio and Ohio is actually probably two of the best teams. These are the teams that played for the MAC last year. The last 2 years, when Ohio plays at home, they're 6-0, and they're 6-0 against the spread.
I also, look, it's the MAC. Weird things happen.
Correct. On a Tuesday night.
I'll just say this. Miami of Ohio is undefeated in conference play and catching points. It's kind of a tell. I think Ohio's probably the side, but I'm not necessarily saying go lay the 401k on a Maction game. But I'll probably get involved and probably take the Bobcats. Decent quarterback matchup.
Parker Navarro is one of my favorite.
Parker Navarro's good, man.
Yeah, Parker Navarro is one of my favorite G5 quarterbacks. All right. Do you have anything you actually like this week?
I got a couple games.
All right, I'm all ears.
We can talk about them. All right, situational spot. This might be one of the best situational spots of the whole college football season. Now, you're paying a tax on it.
All right.
Okay. Last week, Duke went to Clemson and beat Clemson for the first time on the road in 45 years. Next week, Duke plays Virginia at home. This week, they have to go out of conference and go to stores, or I guess technically the football field's in Hartford, and play UConn. What
bowl eligible UConn again.
Bowl eligible UConn. Feisty UConn. Joey Fagnano, their quarterback, and dude can throw it. They got some decent players. This is a weird, weird spot. And I like Duke. I think they're a good football team. I think they could win the ACC. So I'll say this real quickly. This opened up on Sunday at like 13 and was smashed down to 8.5. Now you're seeing a little bit of buyback, probably from like the numbers people, where the numbers just don't lie. Situationally, it's really wacky for Duke. So I do like UConn a little bit here. I've already made known that I despise Virginia. I took Wake Forest on Sunday. It was the first bet that I made just out of spite. I think Wake Forest, despite what happened on Saturday at Florida State, I think they're a pretty good football team. I think Virginia's fraudulent. I think Wake, if we get to a touchdown...
Which quarterback's playing?
I think it's going to be Ashford. I don't know.
Because if the backup plays, he's awful.
Yeah.
He can't move the ball. And I can't believe I'm saying this. Robbie Ashford is better than somebody.
I think if they could play good defense here, because they are a strong defensive team, as we saw against SMU, I think Wake Forest has the chance to be live. How about this one? By the way, these are some weird games. I'll give you some more mainstream games here in just a second. Temple got absolutely obliterated last week by East Carolina, the team that you think will be very scary in 2 weeks. But Temple has been pretty good this year. much better than expected. And they should have beaten Navy. And this is why this is important. They go to Army on Saturday. They're catching a touchdown. And Army's coming off of the Air Force game. I think Temple, I don't think Army's that good this year either. I think Temple could put a bit of a scare into the Black Knights. So, couple of ugly dogs. Let me ask you about this. Where is Florida's head at?
I don't know.
After that loss. They gave it everything, man.
My gut says, I almost want to take the bait and just be like, I'll lay it. I think Kentucky just happened to be on the field with Auburn. But there is a legitimate, so Wilson gets hurt again, and you could tell as soon as Wilson goes out, their passing game struggles. I have no idea.
Kentucky catching a field goal at home.
That line is so short, it tells me that like you should be on Kentucky.
Yeah, I like Kentucky. Letdown spots aren't just off wins. There can be off losses too, and like
you can definitely lose the same game twice.
I was wildly impressed by the effort that you saw from Florida in that game post Sunbelt Billy. Is it like the we got up for one game, now we're gonna let down situation? And then what do we do with Iowa, Oregon?
I don't know. Both sides feel like traps.
I know. I took a little Iowa first half plus 3.5. I don't love it. I just don't like this Oregon team. They're fine. They're not as good as last year.
Here's the only thing I'll say for people out there that want to bet Oregon. Phil Parker, the Iowa defensive coordinator, made comments about Oregon's well-funded roster.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Don't poke the bear.
That has been a nice spot situationally to take Oregon.
Yes. Anytime someone talks smack about the roster price, you get angry Dan Lanning.
Correct. Should also be noted, Iowa and Indiana played a football game, and it was pretty similar. Again, I know that's transitive property.
Yeah, the transitive property of this one makes me want to bet Iowa. I mean, Iowa should have had a really good shot to beat Indiana. But
there's also nothing scarier than like when like you'll just realize like in the third quarter, you're like, God, I was just on the entire wrong side of this.
Well, and another one too, I haven't bet this one. A&M at Missouri. I love dogs. What's Missouri's quarterback situation?
Zellers is the freshman that came in. Again, it was him coming in as Vandy. I did not hate what I saw. But I can also see where sometimes you're like, hey, you're just so like raw, like they'll throw you out there. Sometimes when you have like the whole week to prepare, that's when like that's where it can really. And then you also have to start wondering, like, where are these coaches that have wandering eyes? Like, John Sumrall. His team didn't look ready last week. Brent Key's team didn't look ready last week. Like a lot of these guys that were kind of the hot names, it ended up being okay, but like Brohm, whose name's getting out there, they did not look good in the first half.
No, they did not. That was your classic Brohm spot. Yep. Where they did pull it out. They did win it ultimately. Are we really at the point where UCLA is going to be laying points, huh?
Did you? Oh, man, that kid is so bad. Oh, my God.
Who, TJ Latif?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I know. It's scary. I'm not saying I'm telling everybody to go bet UCLA, but I'm saying that one's
scary.
The
last one I'll say, because I won't be with you on Friday, and I obviously have an affinity to my guy out on the island, Timmy Chang. I think this number is way too high.
If you can get 7, I'd say fire.
7 is out there, readily available. DraftKings has it. Circa has it. BetMGM has it. The look-ahead line was 2.5. And I get it. Hawaii's defense is awful. And they got lit up by San Jose State. But they're on the island under Timmy Chang, 18-6-1 ATS at home. And San Diego State, their defense looks legit. The last, I think, four passing offenses they've faced are 100 or worse. So, to me, could they get bullied by San Diego State? Yeah, it's possible, but I think this number's just inflated. So, I took the points with Hawaii. I took the bait late night.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Stephen Pearl, after Auburn's last night's overtime win against Bethune-Cookman, started off, I know Auburn fans are tired of being told to be patient, so we're just going to get our asses to work. There we go.
A little late for that, buddy, but okay. Let's go with that.
Just don't have to be patient. Want to thank Tim Murray for being with us. If you missed anything, be able on the podcast after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.